There's one great promise, one of the greatest promises in the Bible, I guess, as far as I'm concerned, it actually is the greatest promise in the Bible. And it was made to one man, an old man, and an old woman. Shirley, what was that promise? Who was it? The greatest promise in the Bible. Made to a man. We receive blessings through this man and all the saved in the world do, and a nation. Brother Jay? What was it? Who was it?
Israel would become a mighty nation.
All right, but the promise was originally to what man?
Abraham.
Abraham, okay. In this period of time right here, Abraham. Through this man. And that's what we're talking about today is his descendants. Jacob, one of his descendants, and the promise was handed down through him. And originally, who was supposed to receive the covenant promise? Who was in line to receive it? It wasn't Jacob, was it? Esau. But the Bible says, God through his word says, that Esau hated the covenant of God. He despised the blessings of God and his covenant with him. And he didn't care anything about it. He cared so little about it that he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. The cheapest soup that could possibly be bought, lentil soup, at that time. He despised it. And God said he hated him because he hated that, because of the type of man he was. God doesn't hate men, souls. But the kind of man that Esau was is the kind of men that fight against God today. Same kind. They haven't changed at all. Well, Genesis, the 29th chapter, we come to Jacob. And our lesson today is God protected his own. And our memory verse, of course, is Proverbs 29 and 25. And let's go over that again. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. God's unpreventable progress, we're going to see it right through this again, through this lesson. And if you, Vance Havner coined that phrase, I don't know how long ago it was quite a while, the unpreventable progress of God, and I have seen that from Genesis to Revelation. It's through the Bible, sown through it, the unpreventable progress of God, and that's exactly what we're seeing today in this lesson. Genesis 29 and verse 1, then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. Now, where was this? Where was he going? Where was he?
Get back here a little bit better, Matt. That's a pretty good one right there.
Where was he going? All right, he was going back in the upper part of the Fertile Crescent, wasn't he? A long trip, several hundred miles. And he said he came to the land of the sons of the east, and he looked, and he saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it. For from that well they watered the flocks. Now, remember that wells were very important here. If you didn't have water, you couldn't sustain life at all. And this is one of the places where there was a well that sustained life, and people would congregate around this well. And well, there is very little water in this area, basically, in many places. And where you find the watering hole for the sheep and the cattle and whatever, camels, you're going to find about everyone who comes to the water hole. In communities in early America, there was the general store, wasn't there? All right, everybody went to the general store. At one time or another, everybody came to that general store sometime within a month or so. Everybody would go in. And if you had a message for someone or whatever, you would go to the general store, wouldn't you? And you would leave a letter or whatever. And this is the same type of situation here. Here's a well. Now, if you want to go into some place and find someone, you'd go to the well. That's the place to find them, because somebody would know where they were. So Jacob goes to the well. And behold, three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it, and from that well they watered the flocks. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large. Why would they have to cover a well? What? Well, the sand would blow in this area, and it would fill in the well, wouldn't it, and pollute the water. And they needed something to cover it, to keep animals from falling in it, too. Somebody might walk along there in the middle of the night and fall in the hole. Basically, these wells were not something you went out there and turned a pump on or a windmill, but they were just something you drew out of. And when all the flocks were gathered there, they would then roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep and put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. And Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." And he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said to them, "Is it well with him?" In other words, that's, you know, when you meet somebody on the street, what do you say to them? How are you doing? You know, whether they answer you, whether you answer them or not. You know, this is a custom we go through. Remember Jesus, when he condemned people for making, don't give a man a greeting when you come to him, don't greet a man. What would they do? Remember what they did to him? What they'd go through when they would meet a man on the street, the Hebrew? He'd go through a whole big rigmarole, how are you and how's your grandmother and your great-grandmother and all this kind of business. And they'd go on for 30 minutes, you know. And he said, don't waste time. You know, Paul said one time, he said, don't waste words. He said, that's sin, wasting words like that. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, it's sin to stand there and waste all of that time, and when there's, you don't really care about them anyway. He said, don't give a man a greeting. Not like that. Say yes, hello, bye, whatever. You know, you can say hello and bye to someone without inquiring of their ever aunt and uncle they have. And that's exactly what they do. Well, it's kind of a custom back in these days. He asked him, well, how's Laban doing? He wants to know if he's well. First of all, they hadn't probably heard from this man for many, many years, had they? Want to know whether he's still alive, if he was dead by now or whatever. These people are getting old. How old is Jacob? Have any idea how old Jacob is here? Huh? What? Huh? 30? 30? Anybody else want to guess? 41? Huh? How old is he? How old is Jacob? You think he's over 70? Huh? He was. He was over his 70. How old was he when he got married, approximately? He was over 80 years old. Pretty old, wasn't he? I have copied from someplace here. He was 84 years old when he got married. All right. That's pretty old, wasn't it? Well, let's go on a little further in our lesson today. He asked how Laban was, and they said they knew him and that he was well. And verse 6, and they said, it is well, and behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. Now, this girl was a shepherdess. She guarded the sheep. She took care of the sheep. And he said, behold, it is still high day, and it is not time for the livestock to be gathered. Water the sheep and go pasture them. And they said, we cannot until the flocks are gathered, and they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep. While he was still standing with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, and she was a shepherdess. And it came about, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob, that Jacob went up and rolled a stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. All right. I mean, that fellow was in still good shape. I mean, he wasn't like me, worn out at 34, but he was still going strong at this age. I don't know what kind of shape he was, whether he looked like, you know, if he had all his hair or whatever, but he was still in good shape at this age. Well, to make the trip, the journey that he made, he had to be in good shape. Then it says, Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Now, this was the greeting of a cousin at that time when you would greet someone. This is what you would do. We don't understand the Hebrew customs in this country until you've been there and you've seen these people carry on like this. Well, we see aunts and uncles and things kiss that have, you know, they'll hug each other and everything here, but they don't go through the rigmarole that these Orientals do. This is something. They're very open. They'll weep and cry and go on, and you wonder what in the world is going on. These Arabs and Jews, you'll see them out openly when they meet somebody they haven't met for a long time. They'll kiss each other and hug each other and kiss on both sides of the face, and they'll hold hands and go down the street and cry and go on. And it's, you know, it's unusual to see that. And Brother Allen, you'll see it about next November. He's going to go over there. You pay attention to these things because these people act a lot like they did back then. They haven't changed that much, especially the better ones haven't. Yeah, where in the world was it? 12. Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father, and he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. And it came about when Laban heard the news of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And then he related to Laban all these things. All of what things? Huh? Well, he probably told him how his father was doing, how his mother was doing, that he had an ungodly brother, and a few other things, you know. And what else do you think he told him about? The promise. Sure that he told him of the promise. Jacob, we need to remember, had the promise on his mind. Esau liked to hunt and chase around the field. But what did Jacob do? Why was it so important for him to try to get that birthright and the promise and the heirship? Why was it so important for him? Because he cared about the promise of God. Esau, I cannot see where he wanted that thing anything but except that he would get something more. He'd have a little more advantage, that's all. And then verse 14 says, Laban says to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh, and he stayed with him a month. This is not unusual to stay with a man a month back then. Sometimes they would stay longer than this. Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages will be. He was living with him. Remember what his mother told him to do? Cindy, you remember what his mother told him to do? No, yeah. That was the excuse she made. What really was her mother's idea? Well, it was an excuse, all right. What was the excuse? Why was the excuse, Cricket, you remember? That's right. Why did he go here in the first place? Esau was going to kill him. You know, here the daddy's boy was, and here we have a mama's boy. The daddy's boy, Esau, that his father loved so much and that would go and kill game for his dad and fix him food and everything. What did he say when he saw his brother had taken the birthright? I can't wait till my daddy's dead. I'm going to kill him. Boy, he really cared a lot about his dad, didn't he? Boy, I just can't wait till he's dead. I want to kill that rascal. I'll get even with him. I want to kill him. He wanted him dead. Well, here Jacob, he really cared for his father. I don't really think he enjoyed deceiving him. By the way, should he have had to deceive him? Should he have had to deceive his father? Well, he had the birthright, didn't he? He had bought it, didn't he? He had bought it, and the birthright was his. It was his ungodly brother, Esau, that was not coming up to the bargain. He didn't tell his father, hey, you can't give me that birthright because it's not mine. He didn't do that, did he? He just went along. Evidently, he didn't even tell his father what he'd done. So his mother tells him to go to Laban and stay there until what?
because his brother got over his anger. Now the sin, does it ever get better? Huh? The sin, when you have sin like this, uncontrolled sin like Esau, does it ever subside? It just gets worse, doesn't it? It's never going to get better. It just builds up, and that's all it was. Did she ever sin for him? Did his anger ever subside? No, she never did, because his anger didn't subside. When Jacob came back to the land, he was just as much intent on killing. Or Esau, when he came back to the land, or I'll get straight here in a minute. When Jacob came back to the land, Esau was as much intent of killing him as when he left. Of course, their father wasn't dead yet, was he? He kind of hung on a little longer. He was one of them old ruffians, you know, tough guys that didn't die young or whatever. He lived a lot longer than what Esau wanted him to. Yes. I can't find her pushing him back there yet. But I think that the man had in his mind the real promises of God. He understood the promise of Abraham. Remember that Abrahamic covenant is a very important covenant. That's one of the most important covenants in the Bible, because we're still sharers of it today. The covenant is still in effect today. God is, and as a matter of fact, I can see it going on out into eternity. Hadn't changed. God's working a little differently today than he was back then. But we can see the covenant is just an effect. Why, he said, through you all the nations in the world will be blessed. Is that true today? Amen. That's right. Through his seed. Who's the seed? Jesus Christ. Is God still bound to Israel today? Is he going to deal with them again? Sure. Even Abraham's fleshly seed, he's going to deal with. And we see that in the millennium. Israel has a place in the millennium, and the Lord's churches have a place in the millennium. So two separate things. You can't rob one promise off of one and give to another. They're separate. You must keep the things separate. Otherwise, you can't divide the Word of God correctly. Going a little bit further now. By the way, if you Malachi, the first chapter, comments on Esau. We studied that here a while back, where he said, I hated him. And you remember Israel told Malachi and told the Lord that, wherein have you loved us? He said, remember that I hated Esau and I blessed you? Remember what Esau got? He got Petra is what he got. Mount Seir. The rocks. The desert. Wandering out there. Nothing but, how did the people in Petra make their living, remember? Thievery, that's all. They started stealing, and finally they started blackmailing people as they came through there. That was a trade route. And they would go out there and they would rob the trade routes. They'd rob the caravans. Finally said, well, wait just a minute now. We're robbing these caravans, but you know, they're liable to quit coming through here after a while. We better just start blackmailing them a little bit, you know, as they come through. So they started doing that. Then they started trading with them and charging them a passage fee through there, kind of like a toll road. And finally, the Lord, of course, he prophesied against Edom and told them that he was going to bring them down, and he did, didn't he? He changed the trade route. It went up through Palmyra and did not go through Petra anymore. That city became a lost city until several hundred years later. A city that was like New York City, a trade center. Well, the Lord, his promises are true. His curses are true, and his promises are true. You can remember that. If he curses a nation, it's cursed. I don't care how strong that nation is, they are cursed. Because Petra, the same people of Esau that despised the covenant of God, those people went down there, and they settled among those rocks, those mountains. And Edom, or Petra, is it's a terrific fortress. And you'll be going down there too, Alan. A narrow passageway. Well, those Hebrews can go out there with a basket of rocks, send their kids out and fight off an army. Just drop them on the bombs away, you know, just piddling around. Nothing to it. They had a fortress. And many nations came against them.
militarily. Couldn't touch them. They whoop every one of them. And he says, you have set yourself in the rocks and you have laughed at me, but I'm going to bring you down. How did he do it? He didn't do it militarily. He just pecked away at them militarily, but he changed the trade route, and that's what kept those people alive. And they went a different way, and they left that city, and the city went down. Finally, they discovered it, I think it was in the last century. Tim, do you remember when they discovered Petra the Year? I believe it was in the 1800s, late 1800s. They discovered it. This stumbled across it. They thought it was a myth. 1905? Yeah, it was early in the 1800s or early 19, somewhere around there. Anyway, they discovered that city and it had been lost. They thought it was a myth. They thought it was just something that somebody had imagined. It was a ghost tale or a goblin tale about this city out there. But it was real. God's promise to curse the city was true. Well, God's promise to Abraham was true also. We're going to see Abraham's promise through Jacob protected. This man is going to come through all of this. Let's go on a little further now as we go on. Said, and Laban had two daughters. He said, I'm going to pay you for working for me now. He's going to be down there for a long time, isn't he? So he said, I'm going to pay you for working for me. Now, what do you want? Now, Laban had two daughters, and the name of the older was Leah. And the name Leah means weary or weak. And the name of the younger was Rachel, which means a young female lamb. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance or face. And Jacob loved Rachel. Evidently, he loved her from the first time that he saw her there at the well. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. 7 years. That's quite a payment, isn't it? Surely you think you're worth that much? Here a guy is, he's old already, and he's going to work 7 years for a wife. An old man. I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Now, he made a plain stipulation, didn't he? I'll do this for Rachel. Now, pay attention to what Laban does. He's got a little trickster blood in him. Remember what Jacob means, trickster? Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. In other words, stay here and I'll give her to you. You may as well have her as somebody else. Then Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. And Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. You'll find that everything that he ever did for Laban, he had to ask him for it. He didn't pay him. You know, when you work for someone, payday comes around and you just get paid, don't you? Now, Tim, when you worked for weren't you in the Merchant Marines or something for a while, or Navy, something? Navy, I thought you were in the Merchant Marines or something. Anyway, you have a payday, don't you? And just, you take it for granted that, hey, I'm going to get a paycheck today. This is payday. Well, it wasn't so with Laban. He had to have everything just drug out of him. I mean, have you ever had a boss like that? They're not fun to work for. You put in your hours and time, and then you've got to drag the money out of them, get paid. Well, this is the way Laban was. He said, give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now he's going to give him a big old wedding feast. And Laban gathered all the men of the place, made this large feast. Now it came about an evening that he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. Well, who did he give her? Did he give her Rachel? Tricked him, didn't he? Maybe this guy's hard, had poor eyesight or something. I don't know. Maybe he got drunk. I don't know what happened to him, but he got the wrong woman. And Laban was not doing it by mistake. He knew what he was doing. He said, here's 7 more years. he could see 7 years of labor coming in. Boy, this guy's a good worker, you know. I might as well get him for another 7 years, because he's not going to be satisfied with this woman. Can you imagine how Jacob felt the next morning? What if somebody did that to you, Valerie? Come the shotgun. Well,
you must not know Rachel really well.
Laban also gave Zilpah his daughter Leah as a maid. And it came about in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And said to Laban, what is this to you you have done to me? Was it not Rachel, or for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? I can see old Jacob, oh, I've never deceived anybody. Why'd you do this to me for, you know? And Laban said to him, it's not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the bridal week of this one, and we will give you the other also for service, which you shall serve me for another 7 years. Here comes another 7 years. 14 years now. 14 years. But you know what? This old man, God is going to sustain, and he's going to bring the promises through him regardless. Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife, and Laban also gave Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also. Indeed, he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban for another 7 years. 14 years now. Well, he's getting old. He's getting close to 100. Now the Lord said, or saw, that Leah was unloved. And he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. Now here come the tribes of what? Of Israel, or Jacob. All right? For she said, because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son, and because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also, and she named him Simeon. She conceived again. She was having a lot of kids, wasn't she? Now, remember back at this time, if a woman did not receive a child, if she did not bear a child, she considered herself a sinner or something. Something was wrong. She had sinned. And she wasn't blessed. He bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore she named his name Levi. And that word Levi there means to be joined. In other words, she'd be joined to him. He would love her. She conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Now look here how many children she has. Several of them. 4 children. No, it doesn't list the daughters, but evidently she had 4 boys. But he had 1 daughter, remember? 1 daughter. And I believe he had 1 daughter. Yeah, he had 1 daughter later on. Now, this Judah means the praise of God. And Judy, this is where your name comes from. Right here, the praise of God. Now, I always tease her about being Judas. You know, Judas was a treasurer. And Judy is feminine for Judas and all of that. But see now, Judy, I'm going to give you a compliment. Comes out, the praise of God. The praise of God. Now, that's what your name means. It doesn't mean a betrayer. It's praise of God. Then she stopped bearing. In chapter 30 says, now Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, and she became jealous of her sister, and she said to Jacob, give me children, or else I die. Why? So Jacob's anger burns against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? In other words, he got pretty mad, didn't he? He loved this woman, but he got mad because she accused him. He said, I have nothing to do with this. This woman's conceiving on here. You're not. It's as plain as that. God's not, I'm not, it's not me, it's God. And she said, here is my handmaid Bilhah, go unto her, she may bear children. Now, the same thing happened here that happened to Abraham. Well, we see this multiplied again. Anyway, we have Dan is born, we have Naphtali is born, we have Gad born, we have Asher born, Issachar, Zebulun, then we have Dinah, that's the girl. She's born. And finally, we have Joseph born later on in verse 24. In this, we see the promise of God coming down to him. We're going to have a mighty nation now. Remember back. How old were Abraham and Sarah when they had a child and God promised them that he would make them a mighty nation, didn't he? Huh? He was 100 years old. She was an old woman, couldn't have a child, and yet God said, I will bring this promise true. He said it, didn't he? You remember that bumper sticker on the back of the cars? God said it, and I believe it, and it's true. That settles it. It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not, because when God says it, it's true. Abraham and Sarah did not believe God. They laughed at God, didn't they? Finally, there at the last, when he held them down to the point and says, hey, you're going to have a child. They laughed, didn't they? They laughed, and God said, well, you'll name the kid Laughter then, because you laughed at me. Well, they had one child. Did he become a nation? You know, here's one child. Is he a mighty nation, one little old kid running around? A nation? No. Then, this one little child, Isaac, he has two sons. A nation? Two sons? Two children? Does that make a nation too? No. Well, God promised also that he would make even Esau a nation, didn't he? Esau became a nation. Jacob becomes a nation. We see the start of it right here. Now, when is this? What part of time? What period of time and on this map? When is this taking place? During the promise, someplace in here, during the promise. Now, God had a plan for his people, didn't he? He's going to have some children. He's going to have some people that make up this nation. Now, he has Joseph here, and he said when he had Joseph, actually in verse 22, it says, then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son, and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she named him Joseph. Now, this man is very important, isn't he? Joseph, saying, now Joseph means to add, may the Lord give me another son. Now, it came about when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to all my own place and to my own country and give me wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me depart, for you yourself know my service which I have rendered you. Now he wants to go. He wants to leave this country. What's Laban going to do now? Huh? Where did God want Jacob? In the promised land. What was the promised land? Canaan? All right, this was the land of Canaan. Okay? The land of Canaan, by the way, this was its original name because the descendants of Canaan came here and settled this land. Then, some people from this island right here came over here and they settled this land and they became known as the Philistines. All right? The Philistines, they were sea people. And they settled this land. Well, they were supposed to go back down to Canaan land. This is the area. There were people down there, and God had not given it to them. He had given it to Abraham. Well, Isaac was still down there, wasn't he? Jacob was supposed to be down there, but he was a long way from it. Well, God wanted him to be there, and he knew that if I am to receive the promises that I'm to receive, I'm not going to receive them here. Where is God going to bless you today? In his New Testament churches, isn't he? When you serve there. There is a place that God wants you to serve. There is a specified place. God was going to bless Jacob if he went back to the promised land. That's where the place was for him to be. That was it. He didn't need to be up there. He was supposed to be back home. But Laban said to him, if now it pleases you, stay with me. I have divined. What in the world does that mean? What kind of a person was Laban? What do you do when you divine something, Art? Divine it? Search it out? Tim? He was a witch. Simple as that, he was a witch.
He was living among pagans. Is this where God wants you to be? He wants you to live among pagans?
I'm sure Tim will bring this in later on, but we do the same thing to our children, don't we? Isn't that right? Send them out in the world with the pagans. And we get out in the world with the pagans ourselves, and it rubs off on us. Can you get out in the water in the hog pen without getting dirty? What kind of wives and children was Jacob going to have if he stayed here? Huh? Pagans. Can he expect anything else out of his children and his wives? His favorite wife, when she left, what did she take? Her father's gods, little pagan gods. Now, there's a little more to it than that. I mean, whoever had those gods was the number one head. In other words, when she took the gods out of her father's house, she also took the headship of the house, because the guy that possessed those gods was the head of the tribe. And they worshiped their ancestors, is what they did. And these little gods were probably replicas of their ancestors. And whoever was the head of the tribe in this patriarchal system had the gods. Well, she took the gods and made Jacob the head, see, of her family. Well, her father didn't like it at all. And Jacob knew how much of a crime it was. And he said, the person that has those, when you find him, you kill him. First place, he didn't want the gods there, did he? That's paganism also. We find they kept those gods for a long, long time. Finally, when Jacob got in a lot of trouble, he finally said, get rid of those gods. Get rid of the gods. Get them out of here. We better pay attention to Jehovah only. He said, I have divined, I have consorted with spirits, I have in my witchcraft, I have divined, or I have consorted, or I have... played with witches and demon spirits, whatever you might want to call it, that the Lord has blessed me on your account. Well, I don't know whether he really knew Jehovah or not. But he said, I figured this out, that God's with you. Why was he with him? Because of the promise that he made to Abraham. He said, I'll bless you. Remember when Isaac gave him the blessing? You'll be blessed, you'll be multiplied, regardless. This was going to happen. If the Lord tells you to do something today, and you do it, will you be blessed? Amen? Well, it's just plain, isn't it? And he continued in verse 28, and he said, name me your wages, and I will give it. Name me your wages. He said, I can't let you go. You're too good of a man. And Jacob just had in his mind, the Lord doesn't want me here. But money talks, doesn't it? But he said to him, you yourself know I have served you and how your cattle have fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased to a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now when I shall provide for my own household also. And he said, or so he said, what shall I give you? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. Let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted and spotted sheep, and every black one among the lambs, and the spotted speckled among the goats, and such shall be my wages. Now these are not common. These are the lesser. All right? You see few of the... How many black sheep do you see among the flock? Sometimes you can pass several flocks and not see one, can't you? These were unusual. He said, let me go out there and pick out the unusual ones, okay? The elite. The one, you know, just a few. Let me just have a few of the flock, okay? And I'll take these for my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come concerning my wages. Now, if you give me these few sheep that are like this, these unusual sheep, I'll see what happens. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, will be considered stolen. He says, every one of the normal sheep that's found with me, you will consider I have stolen them. They're not my sheep, my cattle. And Laban said, good, let it be according to your word. Now we're going to see God blessing him again. So he removed on that day and stripped the spotted male goats and all the speckled and spotted female goats and every one with white on it and all the black ones among the sheep and gave them into the care of his sons. Now his sons were large enough now to be shepherds. He hadn't told him yet, but he knew what he was supposed to do, didn't you? Don't you think he knew what he was supposed to do? He had been educated by his father in the promise of God. And he put a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white strips in them and exposing the white which is in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the gutters, even in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink. And they mated when they came to drink. Now, some people say this is a form of witchcraft that was carrying on at that time, so maybe he even got steeped in a little of it. Can you? Well, when you get out in the world, what happens? Huh? So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. And he put his own herds apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Moreover, it came when the stronger of the flock were mating that Jacob would place the rods in the side of the flock in the gutter so they might mate by the rods. But when the flock was feeble, he did not put them, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. Trickster again, huh? So the man became exceedingly prosperous, had large flocks and female and male servants, camels and donkeys. Now we come to the last part of our lesson, 31st chapter. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and for what belonged to our father he has made all this wealth. We're going to get him. Why did Laban's son say this? Why were they interested in what their father had? It was going to be theirs one of these days. And they were about to do this old boy in. Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers. Now here is the command to return to the land, right here. To your relatives, and I will be with you. Do you think he believed him? I will be with you. Jimmy, you think he believed him? Do you think he believed in God all the way? Do you think he trusted him? Well, he should have, but didn't he? He only trusted him enough to start off, that's all. He worried all the way there. Isn't that like we did? Jacob's no different than we are today. You know, we look at Abraham many times and we say, boy, he was a great man. We look at Paul, the apostle, and we say, wasn't Paul a great man? You know what was great about Paul? He believed in God. That was all that was great about him. He trusted the Lord and he followed the Lord and he served the Lord. You know that every one of us can be Apostle Paul if we want to today. We can all do it. We all have the ability to do it and God will bless us.
Well, God would have blessed Jacob if he'd have left sooner to go back. But now he gives him a command. You've been here long enough, boy. Go home.
Return to the land of your father and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called for Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field. Now he goes back, and he starts home. And Laban tries to stop him. Now remember that Rachel took some things that were not theirs, the household gods. These were probably very expensive, very valuable. And like I said, they typified that Laban was no longer the head of the family, but Jacob was now. And that was a slap in the face. So when Laban came, He wanted some blood. That's what he wanted. He was going to do his son-in-law in. But God appeared to Laban and told him, you leave him alone. Now this pagan, the Lord, appeared to him and said, you leave that boy alone. He is mine, and I have made a promise to him. Don't touch him. Anyway, they made friends and left, parted friends, and he left. And he went into the land. And then he came to the land of Canaan. As he was going to cross over into the land of Canaan, he was worried that God wouldn't take care of him. And he sent his family out ahead, and he stayed behind at the brook Jabbok on the other side of it. And remember, that's where he wrestled with the Lord. And finally, the Lord broke him down. At least he was strong enough to get up and go. But after that night, he couldn't even walk straight. He couldn't even run away any longer. He had to trust in God. And that's where he received his name, Israel. Anyway, we'll proceed from there next week. Hope you enjoyed the lesson today. One thing I want you to see in this lesson is that God protected his people, and he'll protect you today. He'll do it. The unpreventable progress of God. God's promises are true no matter what we see around us in the world today. No matter how the obstacles look, if God is for you, you're in the majority, regardless. Thank you.